Hey everybody, welcome to We've Got the Beat. I'm Michael, that's Mindy over there. Somewhere over there.
Somewhere very, very far over there.
Alright, so this is, if you listened to the episode before, this is kind of a continuation, part two. Originally, we didn't think we were going to go that long on the sketch comedy shows, but hey, guess what? We did. And so, we're kind of discussing the game shows that were geared towards kids in the 80s, early 90s. Yes, there's a lot we're not going to get to. I can't believe how many there were in the 90s. What's the one, like Hidden Temple? Everybody talks about that one. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. How did we never see it?
It's the same era as Nick Arcade, yet somehow the Hidden Temple. I've seen images of it and people talk about it, but I've never seen it. So this is kind of like that first few years. I'm skipping Finders Keepers. I was going to have her watch it. I watched it. It's excruciating. One of the most awkward shows that just, and it's just fucking boring. It's just a house filled with shit. And you're supposed to find stuff in there, and the clues are the goddamn worst. And the host just looks like he's uninterested. And he just tells the kids, go already! Go, you 15 fucking seconds, you little bastard! You know, like that kind of behavior. He hates these kids. So.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird thing in general with all these shows that I did watch that there are these, it's like one adult with all these kids, and. How awkward is that to begin with?
Yeah. Most of these are uncomfortable and weird because I think it's the format, how it works. So the original one, Double Dare, the classic, that got the format perfect. It had the perfect host, which I didn't know until yesterday when I was reading. Do you know who almost had it before Mark Summers?
No.
Dana Carvey. They were getting ready to sign him. It was down to him and Mark. And then Dana got his audition for SNL, and then he took himself out of the running because he was so sure that he had SNL. And look, both of them have careers, so great. You know, Mark got his chance. I think Mark, there's something very magical about Mark, is that
he is, like, legendary.
He is. He looks like he's having the best time. Everybody involved in that show looks like they are family. They love each other. They watch out for each other. They protect these kids. They're never short with the kids. They're having fun. They're playing around. And he became the gold standard for what you do with this kind of show.
Yeah, I did notice, like, I watched a few episodes and I thought, oh, wow, he is really carrying a lot of the weight of the show because, you know, he's not working with actors. He's working with hella awkward teenagers. And, like, when he asks them questions, you know how you do on, like, I don't know, like, Alex Trebek, he always asks, you know, a few questions of the people on the show, and they all, you know, an interesting fact about you, you know? And these kids just have, like, the most awkward, deer-in-the-headlights, like, responses.
Uh-huh.
But he has to, like, keep it moving. So I felt a little bad for him that it had to be awkward a lot of the time. And even like the questions that he had them ask sometimes was just like, you need better writers. but he had a lot of, I think, awkwardness to sort of maneuver through, but does it with such grace and like happiness. So.
Yeah. Apparently I've listened to interviews with him because he was on Mark Maron's show, and he was talking about halfway through the show, he started getting, what's the thing where you have to wash your hands all the time? A germophobia? He couldn't stand being near the slime. He couldn't be near any sort of gook and gack. He started to become severely, like, apprehensive
wow.
of anybody touching him, and I think that's why he had to leave the show. But, I mean, this thing was a phenomenon. It was on Nickelodeon. It was on Fox. So I remember there was the original Double Dare course, classic Double Dare. And then I think it went over to Family Double Dare.
Uh-huh.
And then it went to Super Sloppy Double Dare, which I think was the version that was on Fox. And he's churning these things out like crazy. I mean, you can shoot probably 5 in a day if you can clean it up. I don't know how they did it so fast. Like most game shows, they shoot every episode in one day. Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, Hollywood Squares. Seriously, one day. It's like a 12-hour day. They do all the week shows, and they're out. How do you do Double Dare when everything's fucking disgusting?
Well, also, how did you get these kids to film the show when they were should have been in school.
Well,
did
no,
they film
I think,
everything in the summertime?
Yes, I think it's another one where it's June, July, August. You're shooting all of it right then and there. You may be shooting more than one day a week then if you're doing it like that. And I don't know how often they rerun it because, you know, kids' stuff, you can rerun over and over and over. Kids, they don't really get sick of it. But you're talking, first off, I think the reason why Funhouse and Double Dare had, I think, a better quality of kids, that sounds shitty saying it, but you'll understand what I'm trying to say here, is because it's from the same production company. And what I'm thinking is what they did was they're looking for kids that are not only athletic, that can also solve questions, but also I think they kind of check out their personality. If they're not open, if they're awkward, it doesn't work, I don't think they're going to bring them on the show because they want people who are, you know, a little more open to talking. Keepers, I was watching some of these kids, and these are just stone cold, like, I don't know what to say, I'm freezing.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have people with, like, likable personalities.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, and it sets up like, so if you have a very short attention span, this really works for you because you're doing question, question, question. Then you can challenge each other into these crazy little games. I don't know who came up with the games. You're talking like 100 different games on top of the final, you know, run through the maze or what do you want to call it? Obstacle course.
So clever. So much clever ridiculousness.
Yeah. And I love the narrator, the announcer guy. His voice is so good. I think his name was Hurley, I think. And he does the voiceover, I believe, on Funhouse as well. And I remember as a kid, this is so dorky and embarrassing, but I remember having such a crush on the blonde lady who always helped. I think that ended up being Mark Summers' wife. But I remember being like 12 years old going, she's so pretty!
I don't think there's anything weird about that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I legitimately, like, this is not quite the same thing, but I legitimately thought that Mark Summers was, like, the pinnacle of celebrity.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you get anxiety during any of these games?
This time or ever?
Just this time. I was like, get through there, you only got 16 seconds, go!
No, I didn't have any skin in the game this time, but I had feelings of, like, I was like, this is disgusting. And I also was like, for the like family Double Dare, how I feel like it wouldn't be made now because I don't think that parents would be willing to put themselves in those situations.
No. I feel
America is in so much worse shape now.
Oh yeah, I blew out my knee. That makes great television.
And, also, and everyone is just so concerned about appearing in a certain way and it's not covered in slime.
Oh, so I
just feel like,
well, we're talking,
I don't know.
We're talking in an era, the only way you would save this is if you had taped it. But now everything's social media, and if you tripped and fell on your ass, everybody's going to be laughing about it for the next month or whatever, just posting a clip. It's forever.
Yes. Yes, that is a good point. What was the other thing I was thinking? That I feel like when we were kids and watching this when it was originally on, we were like, man, if I could only get on that show, this is what my great plan would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mine was always Bozo the Clown with the whole, do you remember the cups with the ping pong?
100, absolutely.
And you would see the kid missing like the third one. You're like, how the fuck did you do that? You're stupid. I can beat that.
That game lives rent-free in my mind.
Yeah.
I just think about it all the time.
And then so many kids that wouldn't even toss it, they would just, like, throw it. And I'm like, what are you doing? It bounced right out of the cup.
Why do you not have a method for this, and why didn't you practice for months before you got
here? You would think, like, okay, I'm prepping for Double Dare. I got to build my own course in the backyard. Some of these kids are really good, though. I can't believe how fucking fast they are. And the prizes are great. They did not skimp.
You know what's so funny, though, is, like, while the prizes are probably super rad for the 80s and 90s, there's no way that that shit would work now, either. There's just, like, everybody's just too greedy to be like, you're giving away a what?
Yeah, yeah. Or this one, this bonus, you get $50. But, like, $50 to a 10-year-old in 1986 is, like, you know, $300 now or something.
Yes, absolutely.
There was one prize that blew my mind, and I didn't understand it at all, and I think it was at the end of the episode of Double Dare I watched, where the grand prize was a trip to Universal Studios in Orlando, which made no sense.
Where they were already there.
So is that another trip? Like, you can come back and visit, or we're covering your costs? Well, I don't understand.
They were like, come back when you later when you want on our dime, is what they said on one of the episodes I watched.
Oh, okay. It's like, for me, it was like, here's all the slime from this episode. We're going to give it to you in a bucket. Like, what kind of prize is that?
It's so funny, too, because in one of the episodes I watched, I forget if it was Double Dare. I think it was Double Dare, but or another show, when they were just like, something about Palm Springs. And I was just thinking to myself, okay, clearly there's a low budget for prizes here, and someone who works on the show has a grandma who has a timeshare in Palm Springs who just has donated it to the cause.
The producer just wants to announce that his Nana has a weekend available at her timeshare.
Exactly. What kid is going to be excited about Palm Springs, or is it just like, well, California is enticing?
Can you see like a four-year-old shaking his mama's lead? I want to go to the Shad Museum.
I mean, the Shad Aquarium is dope.
I will say this. As an adult at 47, I'm guaranteeing you on the second or third obstacle course, I'm done. That's my 60 seconds. I don't know how the fuck they ran through. What is it, 8? 10? I think it's 8.
Shit, I don't even know. Like, getting up out of a chair is hard for me most of the time.
I get lightheaded now if I sit too long. I can't imagine, like, now dive through these teeth down this slide or whatever and then get up and dig in.
My hip is hurt for 6 months.
Oh, no.
There's no way.
The second one isn't very obstacle heavy, and it's not very good, but I particularly chose these episodes for the fact that I'm telling... is a TV show that you and I watched, that you and I wanted to go on because it had siblings, but I found the two celebrity episodes, and I thought they were fucking charming and weird and just something so adorable about, like, the way it's, like, they just let them fucking argue while the show is airing.
That is true. That is really true that you're just like... But it kind of made me mad because I felt like they kind of misleaded those kids with the questions, or it wasn't really very fair.
Oh, no. You have a six-year-old on against Shannon Doherty, who was like 17. And her brother was like 22. What the fuck is that? Six and eight.
That's a very excellent point. Thank you. That's the only episode I got. I only basically watched one episode of everything of the game shows.
Yeah.
Because of limited time.
Right.
But that's
right.
The one I watched, and I was just like, it was when he was saying how, like, his college friends wanted to date her, and I was like, and then the other girl's like Devin, and I'm like, oh, this is weird.
That's so funny. She goes, well, I don't think anybody's going to want to go out with me. I don't get a lot of dates. Yeah, because you're in elementary school. What the hell?
I mean, yeah.
It's funny is that it chooses the format of the Newlywed Game.
Yes.
And it's like siblings, and I'm like, that's fucking strange. It's fascinating. So in the episode you watched, it's Shannon Doherty, some little girl from House, or Our House, I think is the name of the show.
No, that's the show that she was on.
Oh.
Shannon Doherty.
Really? So what's the little girl from? Oh, no, she's from Rags to Riches.
Rags to Riches, yeah.
Yeah, and then had the Aston Brothers.
And I guess she went on to be on, what was the spinoff of Growing Pains? I think she was on that.
Oh, that's
later.
Her, Just the Ten of Us. I was wondering who she was.
I'm pretty sure that they said that I saw that she went on to that show
Thank
later.
Thank you. She seems so familiar. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah, the Aston Brothers was super confusing because... they were, you know, introduced McKinsey as if he was the one who was more well-known, but I guess he must have been the one that had, like, an NBC show on at the time.
Well, yes. I think at this point, he had been in Goonies and Like Father, Like Son and Whitewater Summer, And
was like War of the Roses, but had been out yet? Or
no, it hadn't come out yet. I think it was a year afterwards. And so it's Mackenzie is kind of hot because he's coming off an NBC show. He I think the last season of Facts of Life was wrapping up at that point, and he had just done the Garbage Pail Kids movie, which was a bomb.
Oh,
but, you know,
I forgot about that.
So I wonder if that was kind of the deal, like it's to promote or whatever. But it was also for charity, and those two seem like really giving kids. That was the nice part, is it wasn't to feed their ego, it was something for charity. The
well,
second
that's
episode,
the other thing, too, yeah. is that, oh, sorry, is that that was the impression I got from all of the kids, that they were just having a fun time with their sibling.
Yeah.
They weren't like, ooh, the special celebrities. It was just, they happened... They were on the show with their sibling, and they happened to be an actor.
Part two is with Chad Allen and his twin sister, and they're fucking adorable. They look
I'm going to go back and watch it later, because I need to know.
They adore each other. There's really no fighting, and they're just kind of having the best time. And there's a weird moment, now that you know that Chad Allen's gay, where they talk about...
Oh.
They talk about him roaming through his sister's closet because she always has the cool clothes. And I was like, that's interesting.
well, just because he's gay doesn't mean he's like a cross-dresser.
No. But the fact that he was interested in her fashion. I know. I don't know where I'm going. I feel like an asshole now for saying that. But I was like, oh, that's something a dude normally wouldn't admit to.
no, that's fair. I agree with that statement that that's not necessarily... something that people would admit to,
especially in the
80s.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know that. Somehow, I didn't know that he was gay. Man, I really had a crush on him at one point in my life.
Oh no, it was like a big deal about 10 years ago when you and I were working at the library together. He was on the cover of a bunch of magazines for coming out.
I guess stuff like that doesn't. I guess it doesn't stick in my brain. I don't know.
Okay, and I think one of the girls is from Punky Brewster, and I can't remember who the third person is, even though I watched it like 3 nights ago.
Okay.
But it's so funny is that they'll be like, they'll get the answer wrong, and then they'll look at each other and go, you know that every time I go in your house, the thing, you know, whatever, like, or your bedroom, whatever, this is the thing that I look at or whatever. And one kid goes, I didn't even know you had a diary, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's just so funny watching them, and the host isn't stopping them to move the show forward at all.
Yeah. It is a lot of, like, awkwardness and pressure to, I mean, honestly, to be the, like, one adult who's really in charge of keeping things flowing in a super hilarious and charming way.
One thing that's interesting is a lot of times these, in game shows were huge in the 70s and 80s. They kind of petered out a little bit in the early 90s until Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out. I want to say this. I feel like you're always seeing the same five or six guys on all of these shows. If they weren't already anchored to something major, like Past Ajax, he's always going to be Wheel of Fortune, you know, you know, Jeopardy, Price is Right. It's always going to be the same guys. But there's these guys like Wink Martindale. I don't know who the fuck Wink Martindale is, you know, when it comes to being based on a show. But you saw him all the time. You know, it's like Chuck Woolery, you know, those kind of guys. You saw them hosting so many different shows. But then there's game show guys who only hosted, like, one thing and then moved on. And I get the feeling that that's what kind of happened with I'm Telling. The guy said, I can't do this. I'm going back to radio or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they can't all turn into, like, you know, nationwide phenomena. Like Mark Summers, who basically his whole career was hosting in one show after the other.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's anybody's dream. I'm sure it's just a circumstance, and then you're just like, well, I would like to keep getting money, so I guess I'll just keep doing it.
Well, I mean, you can do, like, say a lot of these guys were DJs. So they could host their morning show, and then after it's over at 10, they go into production on the show or something like that.
Yeah.
I was shocked that Rick Dees didn't do that,
Can you imagine the fact that your work day could be over at 10 a.m.?
I know, but you got to get up at 4, so...
I know.
And then you got to be funny. You got to be funny at 6 o'clock in the morning. I can't imagine. So, I love the end of the show. That's probably the best part, is when you're going through and seeing all these timepieces. Like, oh, I remember that. I remember this, too. And the contest was you got to match up with what the other person would like, but they only give you a wiggle room of two things you can miss. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The prizes on that one suck too. If you're the loser, you got like, hey, you got a board game version of this show. That's it. Where the other ones, they gave them a decent, like, okay, well, you didn't win, but you still get this.
It was sort of awkward when they're like, let's watch this really fun game show with sibling angst, and we're giving all of the proceeds to a charity that helps fight children's abuse.
You're
just like, and let's keep on going with the fun.
Well, I think it's funny is how they lied to them. They're like, well, they don't get any of this stuff if you don't get all of them. And then at the end of the show, they're like, nah, we're just kidding. We're going to give it all to charity. You're like, oh, thank you. But, you know, we need a good television. You're our victim. Thank you.
Sean and McKenzie asked me, like, they got 8 out of 10. Like, that's pretty, or something. Like, they were supposed to get, is that right? What, they're supposed to get 10?
They have to get 10 out of 12.
Oh, okay.
What's so funny, though, is because that one, it was all boys stuff, whereas the next show, it's boys and girls, which made it kind of easier, I think, for them to say, okay. Because think about it, if you're a boy choosing boy toys that you think that your brother would like choose or whatever, but then you're like going through, it's like, well, this is all boy toys. I got to fucking find the things that it's too much.
Yeah. It's supposed to be even between boys' toys and girls' toys. Although it can't be made today because you can't put those kind of limits on people.
Yeah, but also at the same time, how do they know? Do they have two different runs, or do they wait till they find out who the winner is and then do that run of toys?
What, like, do you mean? They're different colors.
No.
There's half of... Oh.
The toys themselves, they have to set up. Two boys won. We have to change one of these to all boy toys.
Oh.
Well, how do they do that in front of a live audience without them getting like, God damn it, they're getting impatient. Let's keep filming, something. I don't know how they do that, because all of a sudden they're like, oh wait, the two boys didn't win. It's two girls win. We have to reset one of the things,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like to just sort of look back on it now with like, years and years and years after the fact, when you thought what you were watching was like the coolest shit in the world.
Yeah.
And then it's still really cool and really clever, the obstacle courses and the whole like the final run in Funhouse and all that stuff is really still, in one way, like, damn, these people were really creative and kudos to you.
Yeah.
But then when you like also see like, oh, these are like really tiny little things in like one little warehouse, and you're starting to see like the realities of the filming situations, and this was pretty low production value but maximum fun.
Well, I'm guessing the obstacle course in Double Dare is the same, at least for a while, and the same thing with Funhouse. They probably changed it once a season. But you got some of those obstacle courses in Funhouse are so difficult. They're not in the same design. Like, everything in Double Dare is one streamlined path. Funhouse, you can go in different directions. The nice part about Funhouse is that you collect the tickets as you go. So you have to get everything in Double Dare in a row in time, or you lose out. Whereas in Funhouse, it's a little bit interesting because you can find a $250 card, you can find a game card, you can find different things. Each room has something different. And you don't... I watched this kid walk past the $250 card over and over. It was driving me fucking crazy. Like, how do you not see this? But if you're... You know, have that adrenaline rush and you're trying to just get through the obstacles, you may just do that.
Yeah, I like the two very, very different approaches.
Yeah. Same production company. I think J.D. Mm-hmm. Roth is a great host, and he kind of did that for a while too, I remember.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right, so yeah, Funhouse isn't that much different than Double Dare. It's the same exact like setup and payoffs. It's just the finale is what's more interesting, I think.
It doesn't seem like the same show to me, though.
Oh, but I mean like the format, like how you have the questions, you have the setup for a game, then you take a pause, you go back to more questions. Yeah,
the vibe is a little different, I guess.
I didn't realize that J.D. Roth was the host of Biggest Loser.
What?
Yeah, J.D. Roth, after... Oh, he did a lot of shows, man. But I remember...
I don't know. The only person I remember is Allison Sweeney, but was on for a lot of seasons, so who knows?
Huh, he almost got Wesley Crusher in Star Trek The Next Generation before he did
Ooh,
this.
Oh, snap. Oh, you know what? Who else was a host on The Biggest Loser? Wasn't it also... Caroline Ray was the host before Allison Sweeney, probably because they're like, we need someone skinnier, even though this is a show about
who has lost weight. They've given her nothing but grief her entire career, Caroline Ray, for just being slightly chubby. You fucking assholes.
I won't get into it, but yeah, they really, she's not gotten the respect
Yeah. There were video game oriented game shows before and after Nick Arcade. I think the biggest one was Starcade, which is one of the very first original productions on, I want to say, TBS back in the early 80s, where kids would compete playing current video games and they would answer questions. It's very similar to what Nick Arcade is. I think what the difference is higher production value. It wasn't like local Atlanta made kind of thing, but also they created their own games to play. Yes, there are real stuff in there, like Battletoads and stuff like that, and Double Dragon. But the fact that you could interact was kind of like the final game. Is like you could interact with the game and stuff like that. It's really low-grade special effects, but what do you expect when you're trying to... Hey, I don't know how you play it. Are you looking at the game at, like, is there a screen in front of you while there's a green screen next to you, and you're watching that and trying to see? Like, the weird 3D angle of, like... You know, your forced perspective of how to do that is weird.
Yes. I don't know. I remember thinking it was cool, but honestly, I have no clue.
Yeah, because, you know, when we have the Nintendo Wii, it's all basically first person when we're trying to interact with the game. But this is third person, and you're looking at yourself. So when you reach up at something, you're not sure where that is. You're just guessing by looking at the screen. Hmm. That's weird, right?
Yes. I don't know what to say. That sounds confusing.
All of the shows felt like the people who were competing knew each other beforehand. If they're not family, they're friends. Like, they got together. Whereas Nick Arcade, I don't think these people knew each other. I think they were all just interviewing and auditioning, and they just paired a boy and a girl together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah, that that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think that would... maybe not be quite as effective in watchability.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When you see them like on Double Dare answering the questions, there's a chemistry between them. Like they know each other and know how to, like, okay, I always go to you first. You know, that's how this works. Whereas Nick Arcade, they look at each other like, what do we do? I don't know. I've never met you before at this moment, so I'm going to... we're just going to stand here awkwardly while we wait. And the guy's just like kind of sweating. He's like, guys, come on. Let's be cool. Let's go.
Did you think that it was weird on like Double Dare, or like Celebrity Double Dare, how they like just had a random celebrity kid with a random family? Because at first I was like, why didn't they just... have their own family on there.
And wait,
oh my God. I didn't remember that, and I was like, that's weird. And how would you, like, how would the, excuse me, the, like, family, the normal family, not, like, freak out the whole time that they were on the show with someone they really liked and admired?
Right. It kind of feels like they're hiring a ringer, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas,
yes.
Like, if you're on Family Feud, When you're in a family, you're an actual family, you know? Or at best, you all work on the same show together. These people don't know this person. They could be really tempestuous, too. Like, I'm a star actor, you know? I'm on this... whatever. You shut the fuck up while I answer all the questions, you know? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, again, nobody really, like, acted like, I'm super famous. Like, they acted like normal kids.
Yeah.
To me. But still, I think that the situation is a little... weird. And
yeah, 12-year-old me would have been like, Alyssa Milano, hi!
I mean, I probably would have too.
Yeah. Michael, do you want to answer this question? Not really. I don't even know where I am right now. I'm panicking. The blood is rushing to my head.
Or you wouldn't have even said anything because you're just like drooling on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in Nick Arcade is, again, it's just the setup of trivia. Trivia is such a big part of so many game shows in order to get to. I'm trying to think of one that isn't trivia based. Like, at least, I mean, Price is Right is, hey, let's guess the price of this, you know, in order to get up to the showcase or whatever it is, you know? Wheel of Fortune is like that. Of course, Jeopardy is. Is there any game show that doesn't require questions? Just get into it. American Ninja? Is that a game?
I'm trying to think. You know, I was thinking that Double Dare is sort of maybe an influence for, like, Minute to Win It. I can't remember if there is trivia in that, though.
Yeah, there are a lot of games shows that, like Wipeout, you know, stuff like that. I even say, you know, I think Wipeout is actually based on Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, which whatever it was in Japan. Again, those are obstacles, and I feel like there's a Double Dare influence there, too. Have you ever seen MXC, by the way?
MXC?
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
So this is a Japanese show where they brought it over to America, and they stripped all the dialogue, and they had a bunch of guys that did improv, like from Mad TV and stuff, and come in and pretend to be the characters. They make up the character names, their motivations, but the stunts themselves are the most fucking insane thing you've ever seen. I'm almost guaranteeing you half these people ended up in the hospital. But it's fucking hilarious, but it's also completely dark and demented.
When was it on?
It was on Spike TV when they first started, I think in 2002. It was on for like 3 or 4 years.
You know what? I might have actually watched it now that you say that.
Yeah.
That something about that sounds familiar.
It's all obstacle course. There's no questions whatsoever. That's the only one I can think of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know there's game shows after this that are geared towards kids, but this feels like it's kind of like the breakthrough, the ones that everybody remembers, except for we didn't discuss the Hidden Castle or whatever that's called.
Hidden Temple something
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somehow I've never seen it. I really don't know why.
Yeah, it feels like a genre now that could never happen because unless it's trivia-based, like Are You Smarter Than an Eighth Grader?, it ain't gonna happen because they don't want all those insurance suing kind of thing going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, mostly it was pretty innocent, but I can see that there'd be a lot of problems.
Yeah, sprained ankles, falling on your face, stuff like that, yeah.
What about Guts? Do you remember Guts?
Okay, you know what? I literally was trying to remember. There was another show that was in the vein of Double Dragon, or not Double Dragon, Double Dare, and it was on the edge of my brain, and thank you. That it was Guts. I never got to see it, but I saw it as I was going through, because there's a video on YouTube that covers the history of all of the Nickelodeon games.
Yes. Well, that'd be kind of interesting to watch. I might have to watch it. So when was this Hidden Temple show on? Was it even on at the same time?
Well, it's like the sketch comedy shows. Let's look it up right now, actually. Well, I guess.
Okay. All right.
Like the sketch comedy shows, it feels like the second one was over with, that they had another one ready to go. Hidden Temple. Legend of the Hidden Temple.
1993.
Oh. Oh, okay. So that was going almost at the same exact time as a Nick Arcade. It looks like once that was starting to wrap up, that Legends of the Hidden Temple is ready to go.
Interesting.
There is one other teen-oriented game show that I didn't cover because it covers this weird line where it seemed like high school and college age, and it geared older, and that was Remote Control. That feels like it was something that...
Oh, sure.
That seems like it would be aimed towards an older audience, so I skipped that one. But when we were that age group, we watched the shit out of that show.
Oh, we definitely watched it a lot. But because it was, like, so perfect for our interests.
Yeah. Well, it was short attention, and the trivia was based around clips of music videos. And I remember, like, they had Dennis Leary and Adam Sandler and Kerry Werwer and stuff like that. And what's the one, the really terrible Weekend Update host? Colin Quinn. So a lot of those guys started there. But that's another one where it's like, it just didn't fit in with these. So
yeah, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's a really magical time, though, when Nickelodeon was just breaking through with its original productions. Because they had the game shows, the sketch shows, they had SNICK. They had the Sunday morning shows, that little block. It's just so interesting. And now they're such a huge company. They're making movies. You know, they're buying up the rights to, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles forever. It's just, like, Nickelodeon in the early 90s was almost punk rock for kids.
Yes, absolutely.
Which makes me think the next episode, we should cover maybe the most punk rock kids show of all time, and that's The Adventures of Pete and Pete!
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, all that right. Man, that was some badass, weird, dope stuff.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Ah! That is the end of this episode. Thank you for listening. And Mindy, send us on out.
Bye, sucker!